earlier today, I asked for a rise or a raising of hands for those who had a good week, and we all raised our hands. But I have another question for you. Raise your hands if you feel like you are walking on higher ground, looking through spiritual eyes, seeking Yahweh's face. Today I want to talk to you about spiritual maturity. You know, Dewey is with us today, and he was baptized here not too long ago. I find him very dedicated, as we all should be, as we are striving to do what's right in Yahweh's sight. He mentioned to me after the baptism that he felt different. He perceived something was different. I think he perceived Yahweh's Spirit. And being deaf, he is, I think, more sensitive in his other senses. And certainly, Yahweh has blessed him with that understanding. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. We all have to grow up sometime, don't we? I think sometimes we act like little kids, and that, you know, there's a time and place for everything. But one of the things we find emphasized in the Bible, and I think we found it emphasized in Ephesians chapter 2 today, that we are to be seeking spiritual maturity. There are things that we need to do. There are things that we need to seek after. And Yahweh's will needs to be foremost in our minds and our hearts. We need to have that as a priority. But what does it mean to be spiritually mature exactly? Have we been growing spiritually? Have we put away bad attitudes, bad habits, wrong ways of doing things? Do we see love and peace growing in our own individual lives and collectively? Do we recognize our reactions to certain situations are now becoming more in line with how Yahshua would have handled difficult situations himself? Do we recognize the Spirit working within us, helping us to change? If you would, turn to John chapter 10, verse 27. What does it mean to be in the Spirit of Yahweh? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There are spiritual ears that we have, whether we can hear a word or not. We can hear Yahshua, and we heard the calling. Is Yahshua in the Spirit of Yahweh? I think John 17 shows that he is, and that he wants us to be there too. We recognize the truth when it is presented because Yahweh has opened up our hearts and minds to it. Again, is it our own power? Is it our own strength? Or is it by Yahweh's Spirit? 1 John 3, 5 through 7. You know that he appeared in order to take away sin, speaking of the Messiah. And in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has ever seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Now, isn't it true? If we are in the Spirit, we are in Messiah, and we walk as he did, by the Spirit of Yahweh, which he himself had. Now, we're given a portion. He had the fullness. We sense it at times. I think he sensed it all the time, having the fullness. The Spirit teaches us individually, teaches us collectively. But now that we are in the Spirit and studying the Word and getting it embedded in our minds, are we remembering the words of Scripture in the same Spirit? The Spirit is helping us to be obedient. And it does bring Scripture into remembrance. It's not leading us into sin, it's leading us away from it so we're practicing righteous acts rather than unrighteous acts. It's leading us to be more and more in line with His Word. We're becoming more mature with time and with the help of Yahweh's Spirit. Again, not our own might or our own strength, but we have decisions we have to make We have to choose what's right versus what's wrong. If you would turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and starting in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Messiah, let us press on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards Yahweh, of instruction about washing, laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Of course, you have to read the rest of that to understand this in context. But what is the elementary teaching of the Messiah? Isn't it about him coming to save people from the death that sin causes? It's a basic understanding. Isn't it about trusting him as your personal savior and having faith in him that he's able to do what he says he'll do? The author goes on to say, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward Yahweh. What is such a thing? Isn't it continuing in sin, practicing it as you had done before? We don't want that. We don't desire that. And the Spirit moves us away from that. Some more of the basics are given. Baptism, that is washing. The word there, washing, is baptismos. Laying on of hands. Yeah, we understand that. That's how we receive the Spirit, through the eldership. In which those who have the Spirit at Yahshua's return will live eternally. Those who have died will be raised up first with him. The rest changed into spiritual beings. The author says these things they will do, Yahweh willing. But a warning comes in the following verses for those who know these things and have experienced Yahweh's Spirit, but yet fail, or rather, well, I think fail is a good word. They fail to do the things that the Spirit leads them to do. But they also basically fall back into their old ways and disregard the things of the Spirit and of Yahweh's Word. 1 John 3 and verse 9. No one who is born of Yahweh practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of Yahweh. We feel different after being baptized. Yahweh's Spirit has been implanted into our hearts. Just a portion. We didn't have the fullness given as Yahshua was given. I don't know if we could handle that. I don't know if we could handle the fullness of the Spirit as Yahshua had the fullness. But Yahweh sees what we do with the Spirit that he's given to us. If we'll abide in it, if we'll walk in it, if we'll pay attention to what that Spirit directs us to and in. We no longer want to sin. No one who is born of Yahweh practices sin. That's foreign to us. We don't want it. We came out of that. And Yahweh willing, we're not going back. Yahweh's Spirit moves us away from sin and convicts us of it. Our senses are heightened. We are moved with spiritual energy to study and to live by Yahweh's Word. Our conscience is heightened against sinning. It's cleaned up. We have a clean slate. And therefore we stay away from sin. We overcome the bad habits of the past rather than allowing them to overcome us. Hebrews 5 and verse 14. Speaking of spiritual maturity, solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained, discerning good and evil. So if the Word is a lamp unto our feet, then we need to be diligent to know the Word and the deeper things of it. In doing so, we'll have no trouble discerning right from wrong. But the world, that line has become blurred, and they don't know right from wrong. And there's things that they're doing that is just absolutely obscene, because they don't understand. They've lost their way. Ephesians 4, verses 12 through 16. We're given a spirit that helps us. We're given gifts that are to be used to build one another up in the spiritual temple that Ephesians 2 at the end there talks about, being built up in the Spirit with Yahweh dwelling with us. Ephesians 4 and verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Messiah. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of faith. How do we all attain to the unity of faith unless we're growing? We better be growing. We better get those sayings in the past, far into the past, and not be digging them up, and be moving forward in the Spirit and growing. Attaining the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh to a mature man, to the measure and stature which belongs to the fullness of Messiah. Increasing in spirit, recognizing Messiah within you. Looking at things with spiritual eyes, recognizing that there is a difference with Yahweh's Spirit involved. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves of and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Messiah. We should be understanding what He did, how He did things. How did He live? He lived a sinless life. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And what's the fruit of the Spirit? It's summed up in love, I think. The equipping of the saints is done by the Spirit of Yahweh through Messiah Yahshua, in having provided apostles, prophets, evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. We're also told that the Spirit will specifically teach each of us individually. 1 John 2 and verse 27. As for you, the anointing which you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. We pay attention to the things, deeper things of the Spirit, what is being taught to us in our daily walk. And we do this through the Word. Our minds are opened up to the Word of Yahweh. But I think the Spirit gives us insight at times that we wouldn't otherwise have. And we can be sitting in a movie theater and have this happen. We can be doing something other than reading the Bible and still have it happen. Because the Spirit is active. It's flowing waters. The Scripture talks about being provided apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors, teachers to help us learn. But then it also says the Spirit will specifically teach us, so we don't need anyone to teach us. So is there a contradiction in Scripture? Not at all. You are to take instruction, obey leaders as they are following in Yahshua's footsteps. It doesn't mean that the Spirit won't teach you on an individual basis, because it will, and it does, if we submit to it. Galatians chapter 5, and starting verse 22, looking at the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The laws of Yahweh are not against the Spirit's attribute of love. The laws are specifically for the love of Yahweh and others, because He first loved us. So He gives us that ability through the Spirit to love Him and to love others as we should, not breaking the laws, or being in obedience to them. Do we steal from our neighbor? Maybe before we did, in various ways. Today we're compelled not to do that by the Spirit that's been given to us, among other things. among other things that we're not supposed to do. I mean, the not stealing is just one thing. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 3. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Master, Paul speaking here, you'll notice that we're going through a lot of New Testament scriptures. In fact, I think I only have one reference to the Old Testament, and it's a quote in the New Testament. They had the Old Testament. That's what they had. That's the scriptures that they had. But they recognized there's something different that the Israelites didn't have. Most of those in the Old Testament didn't have, and that is the Spirit of Yahweh that is given to us today to abide in us, to help us. And a lot of the emphasis in the New Testament is spiritual. Does it mean we neglect tithing? No. Yahshua made that clear. We do this and other things, and it helps build up the work and the body. We could go into other things too, but and maybe we will in the second part of this. This is going to be a first part because I know there's way too much to go over in just one. But in thinking about spiritual maturity, I mean, this is something that we are to obtain, are to attain to. It's almost like striving for perfection. When we think of spiritual maturity, I think we're talking about spiritual perfection. Walking, talking, thinking, acting properly in the Spirit. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Master, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of Spirit in the bond of peace. What does a prisoner of the Master mean? Does it mean that to walk in the way he wants us to walk, in spirit and in truth? Of course. Being a prisoner means you don't do your own will, but the will of the one who is in charge. The interesting thing is that as we mature spiritually, we look at the way of life we are living as just that, the way of life. It's the way. It's not burdensome. It's just the way to live. But yet people have a hard time with it. Oh, you guys go where in the fall? And you do what? And they just don't understand. I'm speaking of the Feast of Tabernacles, of course. I'm not talking about going and sacrificing physical animals or anything like that. Maybe someone new will be listening to this for the first time and going, what do they do in the fall? I better clarify myself. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One master, one faith, one baptism, one Yahweh and Father all who is over all and through all and in all. How do we increase and recognize the Spirit within us? John 3 and verse 30 says, and this is John the Baptist speaking, but I think we can relate this to ourselves. Speaking of the Messiah, can we say he must increase, but we must decrease? What does that mean? It means we need to fade and the Messiah needs to come forth in our lives. So if we're walking in the Spirit, and we're in tune with Yahweh and Yahshua, we'll be walking and talking and thinking and acting just like the Messiah. We must forego our own will. We must recognize Yahweh's will, which is the Master's will, which is found in the Spirit, in which we've become and we have become partakers of. They are one, and we must seek to be one with them. We must avoid all evil and do according to Yahweh's word. We are to listen to the Master's voice and heed it. He wants us to walk on higher ground in the Spirit. He wants us to put on the spiritual eyes. He wants us to be in tune with His will, His ways, His spirit. Paying attention to His Father. First Corinthians 6, verse 17. The one who joins himself to the Master is one spirit with Him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? It's like being possessed in a good way. But that's unnerving. When you experience that, it can be unnerving. When you recognize that there's something different. But it's good. We can trust in Yahweh. We can trust that His Spirit is going to lead us and not direct us in a wrong way, but give us insight and help us. Any obstacle that we have, we can overcome with Master's help and that Spirit. But ask the question, almost as if, don't you know? And this was at Corinth, and they had a lot of problems. They were not spiritually mature. They were spiritually immature and acting quite childish-like. And we're not to be like that. So he asked them the question, do you not know? Don't you understand that you're the temple for the Holy Spirit, which is in you? If it's in you, he's telling them to grow up. He says, you're not your own. You were paid for. Verse 20, you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Yahweh in your body. Don't be immoral like the pagans, like the Gentiles. Help those that are coming out, but don't be doing those things that they do. But how can we do this on our own? We're not doing it on our own. We're doing it by Yahweh's Spirit and Messiah. John 16, verse 33 says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So it basically gets down to the one who is in us is stronger than the one who is in the world. And there is a different spirit in the world. And we're not to align ourselves with that. Yahshua knows what we struggle with, and He will help us to overcome it, whatever obstacle it is that we are faced with. This is, you know, very different than in times past in which helper laws had to be added so that the main laws would be obeyed. Galatians 3 and verse 24. Galatians 3 verse 24 says, therefore the law has become our tutor to lead us to Messiah, so that we may be justified by faith. You hear this quoted a lot, but they don't understand what they're saying, because they're saying we don't have to obey. And it's nonsense. Do we go back to the blood sacrifices after having accepted the Messiah? That is the very law this is talking about. It's the law that was added because of transgressions against Yahweh's law. It's very clear. It says it in black and white. And we know, even going back to Adam and Eve, the first thing that was done after they sinned, the sacrifice was done, basically, because they received skins of animals. Those animals had to die for those skins to be produced. Do we need other tutors in our life? There are others in Scripture given at different times. Do we need to be restrained from leaving our home or the dwelling on the Sabbath, as Moses was instructing the Israelites on the Sabbath day because they couldn't keep it properly? Do we need to have a tutor or restraint each Sabbath of not leaving the gate open as in Nehemiah's time? Do we need training wheels? Today, I suppose we could ask, do we need to leave our computer off on the Sabbath because we will be unable to resist purchasing things from the online merchants? Seems silly, doesn't it? I mean, don't we have self-control? Isn't that one of the fruits of the Spirit, or part of the fruit of love, that we would have self-control? seems silly to bring up some of these comparisons, but I think it needs to be brought out. It's different for us today to have the Spirit of Yahweh dwelling within us. It does move us. It quickens our spirit and works with us. And it helps. It's not our desire to purchase things on the Sabbath or to work on it, because it's not the desire of the Spirit to do these things. Matthew 7, verse 12. How do we deal with others in a spiritually mature way? Matthew 7, verse 12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Again, is there any law against love? Against, doing good to your neighbor, these type of things? How about being merciful? Being humble? How do we deal with sin that we see in another? Matthew 18, verses 15 through 16. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. This is a very loving and compassionate thing to do. Here is the instruction in dealing with one another on matters of sin. Is this the merciful thing to do? Of course. Is it the loving and humble thing to do? Of course. Does it neglect the law of Yahweh? No. Because it's actually quoting the basic interrelationship instructions from the Old Testament, found in Deuteronomy 19 and verse 15, which says, a single witness shall not rise up against a man on account of any iniquity, sin, or any sin that he has committed. On the evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. So there's still, there's mercy in the Old Testament, there's mercy today, but the thing that's different with us today is that we're given the indwelling of Yahweh's Spirit, and that's important because it helps us to understand and guides us in all truth and the deeper things of Scripture, so that we know what's right versus what's wrong. And we're moved to do what's right. We're not compelled to sin, we're compelled not to sin. We're not compelled to go backwards, we're compelled to move forward. We're not compelled to look down, we're compelled to look up. We're compelled to open up the Bible and read and study and learn. And from the heart, we get it implanted into our minds. And with practice, we discern right from wrong. Acts 18, verse 24 through verses 26. Acts 18, verses 24 through 26. Can one know the Scriptures well and still be wrong? Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Master, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Yahshua, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. Did he hear John? Did he get the teaching of the Master through him? Looks like he may have. Verse 26, and he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of Yahweh more accurately. So he was teaching in a way that evidently didn't quite match up with proper understanding. And sometimes we're off on certain teachings, and we have to get ourselves in line with the true teachings, accurate teachings, proper doctrine, proper understanding of the ways of Yahweh. But this is a love. It's love, humbleness, and mercy all rolled up into one, what Priscilla and Aquila did. It's the Spirit and truth in action, helping, guiding, directing. And since we can be wrong and we need forgiveness at times, how should we be towards others? Matthew 6 and verse 15. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So, in a sense, it's been brought out before. Elder John, you brought this out before, that our salvation is in our own hands. How we treat one another, how we act and react. Either the Spirit is growing and helping us to grow in that sense, or we're going backwards, or we're becoming stale. And, you know, Yahshua said of those in Laodicea, speaking to that assembly, said, wake up, get hot. Wish you're hot or cold, but you're neither. You're kind of lukewarm. So we need to be hot. And, you know, cold is refreshing too. So that may have been why that was said. So we learn, we grow, our understanding gets enhanced. But that understanding, the things that we're learning, that has to transform into action. It can't just be, well, this is what I believe, and then go do something contrary to what this says. It's not always an easy thing, but I do think that the Spirit is helping us to overcome. And we really need to pay attention to the promptings of the Spirit. And again, we may not always feel spiritual. We may not always feel mature in the Spirit, but that is a goal. And it's something that Yahweh is helping us with in the Spirit, in Messiah. If you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Can we approach those in other religious circles with mercy, humbleness, and love? Can we forgive their ignorance of certain aspects of Scripture and provide them with a deeper understanding of Yahweh's Word without telling them that they worship the devil or that their prayers cannot be heard because they're not using the sacred names? It's not the right way to approach people. Saying such things are obviously wrong. We need to become spiritually mature and avoid such childish outbursts. We need to grow in the Messiah. And we need to come together, I think, and have proper doctrine and a proper understanding of what Yahweh would have us to do. And much of that is tied up in doctrine, correct doctrine. And I remember what Paul, how he instructed Titus and Timothy in the pastoral epistles for setting up assemblies. Doctrine, 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 doctrine. Get it right. Teach it correctly. Don't let others look down upon you. But teach correctly. Matthew 18, verse 22 through 23. Peter was sometimes considered childish, but he grew over time with Yahweh's Spirit. In fact, after he received Yahweh's Spirit, he started to mature rather quickly. And I think we do at times as well. Matthew 18, verse 22 through 23. Then Peter came and said to him, Master, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Because that eighth time I really don't want to. You can almost kind of gather why he's asking, but, you know. Verse 22, it goes on to say, Yahshua said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Really? That often? That much? Well, this is most likely a question of one's spiritual brother or sister, but the teachings for us who are in the Spirit must realize this forgiveness and mercy of others must extend beyond just ourselves. So while we're here, while we gather and we're kind, we're merciful, loving towards one another, that needs to extend out of here towards others in the workplace that, you know, go the why and work out. You know, we're setting a good example for others and we're doing these things in a loving way. And so when they find out, hey, that person keeps the Sabbath, well, they're all right. I like them. You know, I went to them with something that, you know, they dealt with me very kindly and mercifully. I thought they were going to just tell me to get lost. But they didn't do that. Well, I think we better close up here, and we'll get into the second part next time. But next time we'll learn more about becoming spiritually mature. In particular, we'll learn from Peter, who had experienced growing in the Spirit. He instructs us how to become spiritually mature so that we'll not stay as a child in our own ways, but that we'll continue to grow and be fruitful to the fullness and stature of Messiah. He himself being the best example of what it is like to be spiritually mature. But Peter gets into talking about faith and adding moral excellence to that, and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and being like Yahweh and brotherly kindness and love. There are things that we have to do to grow. We have to submit ourselves to the Spirit that is helping us in these ways. These are the ways of Yahweh. This is the way of Yahweh. And we are to walk therein. May Yahweh bless until next time.